As we age, so do our parents. Are any of you struggling to balance your professional ambitions with the growing needs of your aging parents? Or maybe you wonder, how can you enrich your aging parents' lives without putting your own career or family on hold? What if there is a way that you could manage both gracefully? That is what today's episode is all about. I sit down with Janice Goldmans, who is the visionary behind Talk About Aging, and with a passion forged from personal experience and deep understanding of gerontology, Janice really illuminates a path for children and their aging parents to find harmony and understanding at any age, any stage. And we delve into the heart of family dynamics, medical concerns, and a quest for quality of life. And Janice shares invaluable insights on navigating the complexities of aging with grace and wisdom. I'm so excited for this episode because I think it's a wildly important topic. So keep listening if you want to find out how to turn challenges into opportunities for connection, for support, so that we can ensure our loved ones age with dignity and joy. Let's do this. Do you want to feel less scattered and more focused, but the idea of goal setting sounds like adding more pressure to your already pressure-filled life? If so, welcome to the Plan Goal Plan podcast. I'm Danielle McGew. I'm a professor, mom, planner addict, and recovering overachiever. After years of hustle and grind, I was tired of trying harder. I was ready to try easier. At the intersection of research, practice, and play, I found a purposeful path to planning and goal setting that is fun, simple, and sustainable. If you're ready to try easier, if you're ready to make memories and do meaningful work, grab a pen. I will equip you with tools and practices to clarify purpose, reclaim time, and achieve goals playfully and lightly. Let's get started. As we age, our priorities naturally evolve, but so do the challenges that we face in maintaining work-life balance. And so what are the strategies that we can employ to ensure that when we're in our later years, it's not just about survival, it's still about growing and evolving and thriving so that we can, you know, we still have passions and like, in fact, they grow more and more. And so how do we make sure that we continue to grow and evolve as our life continues? And so I'm so excited to chat with today's guest. I have with me Janice Goldmans. She's the founder of Talk About Aging, and she helps children and their aging parents get into sync at any age, any stage. And I'm so, so glad that she's here because this is such an important topic. So welcome.
Thanks so much, Danielle. Happy to be here.
Yay. Well, I want to hear your story. I want to learn a little bit more about, I know that you have a background in gerontology. I've got good friends that teach in gerontology. And so I'm excited to hear about your own story and what maybe inspired you to help people navigate the overwhelm that comes with aging and aging parents.
Okay, no problem. I would say it probably started when my grandmother was probably, strangely enough, just about my age. And she was in nursing homes, what they used to call nursing homes. And I would go and visit and see her in the bed doing nothing. I would see the other people who were in the nursing home sitting in wheelchairs, not engaged in life, just looking like they were just waiting for the end to come. And I was fairly young at the time. And I thought to myself, I don't want this for my parents. And I never really did anything with it. It just was always kind of in the back of my mind. This was something that when my parents got older, I wanted to make sure that was their experience. And I ended up going to school actually for business, which has nothing to do with this at all. And I had the great fortune of ending up working with a geriatrician in the US. And I watched how he was with his patients. He spent time with them, and I was very inspired by what he did. I helped him create health fairs and watched how he was able to help them through giving information to either stave off things that happen with aging or prevent them or to help people cope with them. And I just thought there's got to be some way that I can do that, because all of that kind of memory started coming back to me about my grandparents and my own parents were aging. And I thought, oh, wow, this is what I need to be doing. And I ended up going back to graduate school in my late 40s and took the master's degree in gerontology. So that's how I ended up where I am today.
That's awesome. I think that many of us have had those moments of going into like a nursing home, as you said, or I had such a close relationship with my grandma, and she aged in a way that I really admired. You know, she was out gardening and taking care of her home and doing all of these things and growing growing and learning was just always a part of her life, clear into her late 80s. So tell me a little bit about the process. This is such a challenging time in people's lives, you know, when either you're aging yourself, we are aging ourselves always, and caring for loved one. How do you help people navigate through this time?
So my first thing that I really think is important is being proactive. When you're healthy, believe it or not, is when you have to start thinking about what happens if, all of those what happens ifs that are important to think about. Families very rarely will sit down together, multi-generational, and say, hey, what would happen if I got ill? Or what would happen if down the road I had Alzheimer's? Or what would happen if I could no longer care for myself? Because we don't, if you don't have it in front of you, you don't tend to think about it. But it is important to start to have those conversations early and to sit down with your family and say, this is what I would want or what I wouldn't want. And this is the person I would want to help me or not help me, you know, those types of things. So I think opening those conversations is one of the most important beginnings that you can do. And then once issues start to occur, there's probably four or five areas that I would say to look at. And again, it can change over time. It can change rapidly. It could take a long time. So you're looking at the present housing. If something should happen, would this housing still be appropriate? Or would we need to think about moving or adapting or renovating? I would say also your family support. Who would be there to help you if you needed it? And do they live in the same city? Do they live close to you? Then if it was needed, that you would be there. You want to look at finances. And it's, again, something that people don't necessarily want to share with each other, but it's very important. Could we afford to bring somebody in? Could you afford to go to private senior residence? What kind of government opportunities are there to bring in to help you? Are you a veteran? Can that help you out? And then, as I said, sort of outside services as well. And then health issues. Today, you could be very healthy, but let's say things are starting to happen. What is the trajectory of that? What is that going to look like in 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years? And how can we plan for it? And one of the things in that vein that I think is really important, especially as we get older, is to start establishing a partnership with your health professionals. Because when things happen, you want to know that there's going to be dialogue. You're going to be able to ask questions. You know that you're going to be able to get information and that your doctor is familiar with who you are. You're familiar with how they are. And I think that that's really important. And a lot of people don't necessarily foster that relationship. They just kind of see the doctor in the white coat. And they have all the answers, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was just thinking about how many stigmas there are around us talking about these issues. So, of course, we don't want to necessarily talk about the idea that we're aging or could die someday or that we may not be healthy. But then, even talking about our finances and talking about money is something that maybe we've been taught or it's been ingrained in our family or in our culture, that that's not something that you talk about with each other. And the same with health, that it's like this private thing. And so, one thing that was going through my mind as you were chatting is how do I bring this up with, let's say, my family members in a way that is also going to not offend them?
And that can be a challenge because I know with my own parents, when they were in their early 70s and I started doing all of this work and I thought, oh, I'm going to use my parents as my own sounding board to see how this works. And it can be tough. But if you come from the place of, we want to have the highest quality of life, no matter what the challenge. And, we don't need to have every I dotted, but let's start the conversation. Have you ever thought about this? Or what happened with you and your parents when your parents started getting older? How was that for you? What do you wish you might have done differently? So it doesn't necessarily have to be focused on their aging. But just to say, let me think about that. Oh, yeah, it was really problematic because I didn't have resources. I didn't even know the questions to ask me. So that, even at that first level, can start to open the conversation. And when we come from a place of caring and concern, it can be more accepted than I'm going to tell you what to do, which is sometimes that role reversal, the child becomes the parent and the parent becomes the child, which doesn't tend to go well. So it has to be light in the beginning. And if you have a number of people in the family, the more people you can get together on site at the same time, the better it is. Because in most families, you know, the one child says, well, you like them better, or you always listen to them and you don't listen to me. And that can make a wedge in any kind of a conversation. So you want to try and get everybody on site for the good of the whole family, not about what I want or what any individual wants, but what as a family can we decide would be best.
I love that sort of collective care approach. So you sort of recognize that as a family, we're a collective, and that we need to think about this in terms of how these decisions are going to impact all of us. Because I do think that oftentimes it is presented more about like, well, what is it that you want? And I think that that's important, but it impacts everyone. And so I think that that's a lovely way. And then just framing it around quality of life. And I love the prompt that you offered too, where it's, oh, well, tell me about when your parents were aging and how was that for you? And what would you have done different? Because I love that that's a way that you might be able to bring up some of the things that they would like without having to necessarily ask them directly. So I really appreciate that prompt. What are some of the other challenges that children of aging parents face, particularly when it comes to, because there's just a lot there. So how do you balance being a caregiver and like living your own life?
So people used to enter retirement residences in their 70s, and now it's probably closer to late 80s, early 90s. So older people are at home or in a situation where they're independent and taking care of themselves a lot longer than they used to, which means that generally their children are older and their children are older, and you may even have another generation. So now having four generations in a family is not unusual. So if you think about the actual children of the aging parents, they can be in their 60s and 70s with their kids who are in their 30s with their kids. So it's a lot of bandwidth that you're trying to balance to make sure that everybody's needs are taken care of and your own. And if you're working and you're still doing that, balancing that, if you are a professional yourself and trying to navigate that to make sure that you're putting in the time that you need to in your own career, but you've got your phone ringing and it's your mother or it's your sister saying, something's happened, I need your help, or a doctor phoning and wanting to talk to you. And you're trying to figure out, how do I fit that in with my child that's going to university and I have to start looking at universities for my child, or I have a grandchild that I want to go and see their concert, but I've got my mom in the retirement residence who happens to be ill today. So I think the first rule is it's never going to be perfect, and that you have to be realistic. What can you humanly do? And you have to do your best, and you have to look at what, again, the big picture, not what is best for this person or this particular person or this person or even me. What is best? If I can't make it to the doctor appointment today with mom, who can take her? Because I have to go somewhere else with my child or my grandchild. Who can take them? Or I'm going to be out of town on a business trip, but I want to make sure that other things are happening. Who can step in for me? Or I need a vacation. I want to go away because I need to recharge my own battery. Who can help? So it's looking at all of the resources, whether they are private or government funded or your own family or whatever that might be, that can help you when you're trying to balance off one area from the other. Because you've got a lot of balls up in the air and nobody wants them to fall, but they do. You know, they do. We can't be in more than one place at a time. And so it's prioritizing. It's having that plan in place to say, all right, let's not wait till the last minute. I'm going away, or I need help here, or can you help me there, or whatever that might be. And get some resources.
Yeah. Are there any resources that you notice that people sometimes forget or don't realize are available to them?
Yeah. So for somebody who is a veteran, there's a lot of veteran programs in the U.S. A lot. There's a lot of programming. There's also programming that I would say in your faith-based communities. A lot of churches or synagogues or mosques or whatever, if you go and say, hey, we have somebody who needs transportation to a doctor's appointment, or, you know, they need companionship or whatever that might be. These are people who a lot of them are more than happy to help. There's also a lot of different organizations that will help. So the Alzheimer's Association will help people that has Alzheimer's. the Kidney Foundation, the, you know, diabetes, all of these sort of umbrella companies, organizations are really there to help support whoever needs it, either for their family, for the person themselves. And we don't tend to go and look for support from those kinds of organizations, but it definitely is there for them. I would say insurance companies love to put on programs to help people learn how to be healthy as they get older. I know there's certainly insurance companies that have like a silver sneaker program to help people who are older stay fit, or gyms that will help them with certain programs specifically for older adults, AquaFit, and things that are adapted to them. So there's a lot of resources that are out there that we may not necessarily be thinking about, but they're out there.
That's awesome. So earlier you mentioned, you know, the importance of prioritizing, and, you know, something that I'm really passionate about is helping particularly high achieving women learn to be mindful in the way that they schedule and to approach holistic goal setting. And I do know that, you know, particularly as you're, you know, as you're a caregiver, whether that's caregiving for aging parents or caregiving to young children, right? That like balancing all of it is incredibly challenging. And I was just wondering if you learned anything about planning or goal setting as you've been helping people navigate planning for your later years and planning as a family for how to navigate these challenges.
So one of the things that I always like to say is the sooner the better. As I said earlier, think about what could happen. It may not be today, but let's say something should happen down the road. What information would be important for other people to have? So you would want to have somewhere that it has a document with any kind of health challenges you have. I literally had that on a piece of paper so that I could go to my parents' doctors and say, okay, this is what's going on. If they go to more than one doctor, make sure you've got a whole list of medications from all the doctors, not just one particular doctor. So you've got everything you need. Things like powers of attorney are really important. And again, that can be done at any time. So have those powers of attorney, have those living wills, have your will, know where information such as who is your lawyer, who's your accountant, what banks do you use, all of that. And I'm not saying you have to share that with everyone, but you know that it's in a red folder and it's in this file or it's on this stick or wherever it is you want to maintain that information. And as long as somebody knows where that is, that's a good start, because then somebody knows, okay, something has happened. I know exactly where it could go and I can get the information. And then when there are challenges, again, it's that planning. Okay, so today this is the situation. So what would happen if it got worse? What would we be able to do? Who could we phone? What would be the financial assistance that we can provide or government assistance that we can bring in? So it's, again, it's that proactivity. It's not waiting for something to happen. It's being prepared just in case. And you hope that that never needs to be done. But generally, at some point, these things are going to be very helpful to have down the road.
I think that that's amazing. And I think that it's so easy when we're kind of caught up, swept up in all the busyness of life to deal with all of the urgent things that are really in front of us, rather than taking the time to go, this is important and I need to make this a priority. I know I have binders in my home. I have, you know, a medical binder. I have a binder for a lot of the different areas that you were talking about. And I really have to make it a priority at least once a year to tend to those, because it's so easy to go, oh, well, you know, I could spend more time cleaning out my kitchen or my pantry. And yet, like, this is so important, because when the moment arises, how much you need that, you know?
But you also want to make time for those things that are important to you. So if having the pantry clean a couple of times a year is important, have a big calendar of some kind and say, okay, this is my date that I've got in my mind today. I'm going to do it in 3 weeks from now. And 3 weeks from now, if that still works, then you do it. But if something has changed, you can pivot. But at least you've got what's important to you also listed. And that's the thing that I think people forget, is there are things that are important to you as a person. You want to maintain your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with your hobbies. Don't let that fall off on the wayside because now you're caring for your parent. You have to take care of you too, because it's like that famous thing that they always say in the airplane, you have to put on your own oxygen first before you can help someone else. And you have to be the best you in order to help somebody else. If you are frazzled and burnt out, you're not going to be of much assist.
Absolutely. I think that that's one of the biggest challenges is, you know, and I would be interested in hearing how you sort of navigate that with some of your clients, because I do think that the burnout for people that are providing care for others is incredibly high. And, you know, it's so hard to say, hey, you know, take a bubble bath, like relax, you know, it's so hard to sometimes convince people that that is important too, especially when they feel like something is, you know, really, you know, big going on with someone that they love.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge. You know, that bubble bath may be 3 o'clock in the morning at times, but you still get your bubble baths. Again, you know, it's so dependent on having support. And the support can come from many places. Sometimes it is within your own family. Sometimes it's with friends of your parents or whoever is aging. Sometimes it is somebody who is brought in and paid help. Sometimes it is respite care somewhere. Because even in like the situations where there isn't help, there's generally somebody who will help you with respite care, even if it's for a couple of days. And it may not be perfect, but again, if you don't recharge your own batteries, you're not going to be very helpful. And having that proactive attitude of, I want to make sure that I can rally the troops if I need to and have people. And it's very challenging when you don't live in the same city necessarily as your parent. And you've got one sibling who takes it all on because they live there and you don't. And you're trusting them to do what they have to do, but they're, in the meanwhile, getting burnt out. So we have to have that flexibility to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to come. I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to make that work in my life somehow. And then you may end up on the other side when you're doing that kind of travel to say to your immediate family, hey, I really need to do this. I need a week to spend with mom and dad so that my sister can have some time off. And it is getting everybody. When I say everybody, I mean everybody on side. It's the children of the aging parents. It's their children. It could even be their grandchildren. And grandchildren can be a really big help. Even young ones, because they're great companions. They're great to spend time with their grandparents, having a tea party or talking about school. And it gives their parent maybe an hour just to go out to Starbucks and have a coffee and feel like, okay, my parents aren't alone, but can just go out and have a little breather. So everybody can help.
I love that. One of the things that I've really, really appreciated from our conversation is either the questions or just you pointing to how incredibly resourced people really are and to recognize that there are all of these resources. So it doesn't always have to be just you. And I think that's such a relief. And I know that you're a really amazing resource for people that are navigating this too. So if people wanted to connect with you, how could they do that?
So the easiest way to get me is just Janice@talkaboutaging. And I picked that name very strategically because that's what I think we as a society need to do. And as the demographic is getting older, we need to talk about aging. It's going to be more and more prevalent. It's going to be more and more important for us to figure out how can we have that highest quality of life, any age, any stage. Because it's not all about, oh, I'm 90 years old and I can go skiing. That's wonderful. But you want to be 90 years old and you might have Alzheimer's, but you can still have a quality of life. And it is that any stage that's really, really important. Don't feel that because somebody has challenges that necessarily they don't have quality of life. They do. And that's our mission as family or friends or whatever that might be to help that happen.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Janice. I've really appreciated this conversation.
Thank you. I love being here.
If this podcast has inspired you, guided you, or just made you laugh, the number one way that you can thank me is by leaving a written review for the show over on Apple Podcast. I'm seriously tickled every time that I hear from you all, so pop onto Instagram and follow Plan Go Plan and digital message me. I want to say hello. I want to geek out about all things planning and goal setting. Keep sensing the possibilities, y'all.